Proverbs chapter 23. Now this evening, this is our fifth sermon in this chapter, and this evening we're going to cover verse 24 through 35. But let me read just a few verses to get started this evening. I'm going to take our title from verse 26, and I'm going to title the message tonight, "Give Me Thine Heart." He says here, beginning in verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." Verse 28, "She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men." Now we're going to go through the other verses, but I will stop reading right here. Father, we thank you this evening for, again, this privilege, this opportunity to assemble together. Lord, we just pray for thy will to be done this evening in the service. We thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this time. We ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now last week we were in verse 22 and verse 23, and we focused in on verse 23, and we titled the message, "Buy the Truth and Sell It Not." Notice as we come now to verse 24 and 25. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to make some brief comments on these verses. I'll focus in a little bit more on verse 26, and then we'll read through the latter part of the chapter because we've already covered some of these things twice. Once was a few months ago. The other time was just a few weeks ago in verse 20 and 21, dealing verse 29 through 35 is dealing with the drunkard. So notice with me as we come to verse 24 and in verse 25, we see here the subject of happy parents. He said in verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise son shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." In other words, when children walk in righteousness, the righteousness and wisdom of God, they bring joy to the father and the mother. And that's what we see here in this passage. As a matter of fact, as we've come through this chapter, we're going to see in verse 26 again, he starts off with, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." But we also seen in verse 15, he says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." And then in verse 19, it says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." And then in verse 22, he says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." So we not only found the subject of disciplining children in verse 13 and 14, but again, we come back to this saying about the son, verse 15, verse 19, verse 22, verse 24, 25, and verse 26. So we have just in one chapter, this whole book has been speaking about these things, but we have just here in one chapter this many verses on this. And so in verse 24 and verse 25 again, we see here again, if children and even adult children, if they're walking in the ways of the Lord, it makes a happy father and mother. Now notice with me as we come to verse 26, I want to camp out just for a few moments here. And by the way, not only the verses here, but I'll read one that we preached an entire sermon on, Proverbs 10:1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness is the heaviness, rather, of his mother. And again, we see this principle over and over throughout the book of Proverbs. But notice here, as we come to verse 26, we'll spend just a little bit of time here, and then we'll just read through the rest of the verses and make brief comments on it. But he said in verse 26, he said, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We find here, when he says, "Give me thine heart," this is what God the Father asks of all his children. He asks that of you and I. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, we have these words speaking of the commandments of the Lord. He said in verse 37, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So God the Father asks these things of his children. So we find here that Solomon, speaking of his own son, as every father should have the same desires here. And this does not exclude daughters, even though the focus is here upon sons. The same thing could be said to daughters as well. And he says, "My son, give me thine heart." We find here that when we think about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and this is the reason I've said for years that we as fathers should study above anything probably the fatherhood of God, and it's one of the most dominant attributes of the Lord, and especially as we come into the New Testament. But we find that the Father said about the Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Find that in many places, but particularly Luke 3:22. In Luke 9:35 and Luke 20, verse 13. We find that at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. We find it at the Mount of the Transfiguration. We find the Father saying these things about the Son. Then we also find in John 6:36 and John 10, verse 30, we find the Son saying, "I and my Father are one, and I came to do his will." So we have the Father and Son relationship. We see the unity, the harmony, the fellowship, and the love between God the Father and God the Son. We can learn something from that. Sons can learn something. Fathers can learn something, you know, from this. And the Lord Jesus, in Luke 2:49, at 12 years of age, when he was his parents was leaving Jerusalem after being there on the feast day, and the Lord Jesus wasn't with them at the time, and they got about a day's journey and realized that he wasn't with them. We've had people do that a few times here at the church and have to come back and get their children. But anyway, we've had that happen two or three times over the years, and especially a family that has, you know, six or seven. We had one family that had six children, so you easily lose one of them for a day or so and not realize it. But anyway, the Lord Jesus, he's sitting and listening to the doctors in the temple and asking questions. And his mother asked him, you know, said, you know, what's going on? He said, "I'm about my Father's business." At 12 years of age. Now, he wasn't disobedient to his mother, but he was 12 years of age. He said, "I'm about my Father's business." Well, we find here in verse 26 that, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We find, and we've already spent some time on this as we come through. If you're taking notes with the heart, chapter 4, and in verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Again, it starts off in verse 1, my son, and he speaks about, he said, forget not my law, but keep thine heart, let thine heart rather keep my commandments. And he goes on to elaborate on that. And he said in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So the heart, when we see in the Bible, it's used 830 times. And 99% of those times are not the physical organ that pumps blood through our body. He's speaking of the spiritual aspect of this. And so the heart is the very essence and center of man. Physically speaking, it is the center as well, and it pumps blood throughout our body. But spiritually speaking, it is the inner man. And it's the very seat of personality, of thinking, of emotions, and will. And there's a lot more we could say about that. And the world wants the heart of our children. Satan wants the heart of our children. And so he's saying this to a father here in this passage. And so he says in verse 26 again, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Think about that. A father praying to the son and saying to the son, give me thine heart. Because if it's not given to the parents, it's going to be given to someone somewhere along the way. But the interesting thing, I believe here, in this verse is the latter part of it. He says, let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, that means that the son or the daughter's eyes are to delight in following the parent's lead. And so we need to watch our life, you know, and take note of our life, because if we were to say this to our children, we want them to imitate us. Now think about that. We want them to imitate us, so that keeps us on our toes when it comes to spiritual truth. I think about some verses, and not asking you to turn to them, but I want you to listen to this. And the Apostle Paul actually says this at least three or four times. The statement I'm going to give you here, he says it here in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says this again in chapter 4 and verse 16. And he also says it to the Philippian church in chapter 3, 19 and 4, 9. And he also says it to the Thessalonian church, 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. But here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, you said, well, that's the Apostle Paul. He was a man. He was a sinner saved by the grace of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he tells us that. He said he was the chief of sinners. And so Paul was a man. Yes, he was a great man. Yes, he was a man of God, and he gives us nearly half of the New Testament. But he was still a man. And he writes to the church at Corinth, at Philippi, he said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. In other words, as I follow Christ, you follow me. And a father ought to be able to say that to the children and say, look at me, observe my ways, pay attention to me, let me be an example to you. See, that'll keep us straight, won't it? When we got somebody watching us, and you're asking someone to let you be a model, an example for them, that's what this verse is saying. We need to quit making excuses and just do it. Amen? Just be the father we should be, the husband we should be, the man that we should be. But the Apostle Paul said, follow me. Tells the churches to do that. Follow me as I follow Christ. And of course, he never reneged on his commitment, you know, to Christ. And so the church could follow him as an example. And many times children know whether we're right with God or not. I mean, they see through those things a lot of times. And so we see a beautiful thing here in this passage. Let me read it again. And again, this shows them how to follow God by following our example. And I've had followers say, well, I'm not there. Well, let's get there. See, that's the same. We have all the tools necessary to get there. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so he's saying to us as fathers that we can look at our sons and say, give me thine heart and let thy eyes observe my ways, because my ways are the ways of God. Now, I want you to notice not only that, let me read this again and go to verse 27. I want you to notice some of the reasons. He said, verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, let thine eyes observe my ways. But notice the next word in verse 27. What does it start off with? For. Notice as we read verse 27 and 28, he says, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men. Here's one really good reason for us to do this. There's many, many reasons. We want them to serve God and love God and live for God, especially when it's talking about a son here. We find that uses the word whore here. The Bible in chapter 7 uses the word harlot. The whole chapter is dealing with this strange woman or the harlot. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 also deals with this as well. We've already spent an adequate amount of time on this, but this here shows the character of a harlot in that she brings a foolish man to ruin and destruction. And we give you an example of this. Samson in the Bible. In Judges 16, just say the whole chapter. I start to say 4 through 20, but the whole chapter. We find that he broke the bonds of his enemy, but he could not break the bonds of his own lust. Now, I want you to think about that. One of the strongest men in the Bible, and he fell to his lust and with immorality. And so we see here some of the reasons why that a father is to do this for the children, especially the son here. We find in verse 27 and 28 again, for a whore is a deep ditch. Notice a place you're going to fall into and not get out. And it says, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. In other words, the ideal here of a strange woman, we'll see it again in a few verses later. But we find that the strange woman is any woman outside of the covenant of marriage, is what he's talking about here. And it says that in verse 28, she also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men. In other words, the foolish son will fall in to this trap. A wise son will not. Now, notice with me, as we come to verse 29 through 35, we pick up the subject of the drunkard again. And we, in verse 20 and 21, about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we titled the message, I think it's titled The Drunkard and the Glutton. In verse 20, it says, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. Verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So we titled that message The Drunkard and Glutton, I believe is the way we titled it. But we camped out there in verse 20 and 21. So we spent half of the sermon on the drunkard and half of the sermon on the glutton. But in chapter 20 and verse 1, we have an entire sermon, and we titled it, Wine is a Mocker. Because he said in chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If we're not wise, we're a fool. And so we went through many other passages and those two sermons dealing with the subject of drunkenness. And we know that as we read through the New Testament, the drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, 11, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, many other places, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, the drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So from verse 29 now through the end of this chapter, we see the subject of drunkenness again, as in verse 20 and 21. So notice now as we begin reading in verse 29. I'm just going to just briefly comment on these. And he said here in verse 29, he asked the question, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Notice we see that in verse 30, this is the drunkard that has all of these things. The drunkard has woe, that is trouble and sorrows. He has sorrow, he has contentions. The drunkard is always contending or arguing or debating with someone. Also, he has babbling, slurred speech. And he has wounds without cause. And he also has bloodshot eyes, has redness of eyes. Here they are in verse 30. They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine, which would be any kind of a drink. So we see here in verse 30, this is the drunkard. The drunkard has woe, he has sorrow, he has contention, he has babbling, wounds, and bloodshot eyes. Redness of eyes. And those that tarry long, in verse 30, that tarry long at the wine. Notice in verse 31, he says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. When he says, look not, in other words, saying, don't lust after it as it gives its color, as it was probably sparkles and when it moveth itself aright, that's probably when it's fermented and intoxicating. So he's saying, don't lust after it. Don't tarry long with it. Don't seek after it. One of the reasons, notice in verse 32, he says, at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The adder here is definitely a venomous snake. And so in the end, he said it lasts. In other words, it's deadly. It bites like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. In other words, it's going to destroy the individual. Notice in verse 33, here's the strange women again. He said in verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Again, the strange woman or the strange women is those who are not your wife, those that are outside the covenant of marriage. Then he said in verse 34, he said, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. In other words, he's going to drown in his own booze or his own vomit. And he says in verse 34, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. In other words, he is dizzy as a man in the mast of a ship swaying back and forth. Take that mast on the top of that ship and that thing moving back and forth. In other words, that's the way the drunkard is. And then he says in verse 35, they have stricken me. This is the drunk saying this. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. And they have beaten me, and I felt it not or knew it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. He's addicted. In other words, even though he has wounds from either falls or fights or whatever the case may be, he can't even remember clearly what has happened to him and where he got all of his wounds, yet When he sobers up, he'll go back to it again. He's addicted to the alcohol, to the poison that's as a venomous snake that will bite. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you this evening for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for this privilege. Lord, we ask your blessings on the remaining of the service here tonight. And Lord, we pray that we'll take to heart your word, that we'll believe it, that we'll apply it to our lives, that we'll live as you've called us to live as saints of God. Lord, we love you this evening. We thank you for your salvation. But Lord, we also thank you for the privilege to be able to serve you and your church and your kingdom. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.